Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Los Angeles is so much more than just Tinseltown, and this sentiment was potently reaffirmed when I came to the City of Angels to explore the incredible array of museums. I quickly discovered that the revered Los Angeles County Museum of Art, fondly known simply as LACMA by locals, is a mandatory destination for everyone and anyone, kids just as much as adults with an interest in the arts. In retrospect, I should have earmarked 3 days just to properly savor LACMA's world-class art and traveling exhibits, housed in 8 buildings situated on a sprawling 20-acre campus, right in the heart of town on Wilshire Boulevard. And there's no shortage of open-air space with a sidewalk cafe, ample lawns, and outdoor sculptures, including a gargantuan 340-ton granite boulder that seemingly levitates. LACMA is the largest museum west of the Mississippi and is the preeminent encyclopedic museum in the western United States. Collections among the world's most comprehensive range from ancient Egyptian mummies to cutting-edge art installations. If you're looking for works by Diego Rivera and Frida Kahlo to Picasso, Matisse, and Degas, LACMA is your one-stop art destination in the heart of L.A. A sampler of popular permanent collections range from Indian to Islamic and Latin American art. LACMA's Asian art collections are considered to be among the world's foremost, including one of the premier collections of Korean art outside of Korea. I'm Tom Wilmer. Join me for a conversation with Michael Govan, LACMA's CEO and director. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Tom. It's nice to have you here, and welcome to the museum. Los Angeles County Museum of Art is really, we're the largest art museum west of the Mississippi, and we have enormous number of objects from every place and time in art history. You can come here and see the latest thing being made by a young artist in Los Angeles, or you can see an Egyptian mummy and Assyrian reliefs, and you can see Asian art, and you can see American art. The idea of this museum is that it's called a general or an encyclopedic museum, which is art from all times and all places, which I think is especially appropriate in a city like Los Angeles, where we have people from at least all places.
Interesting point. Somebody earlier was saying that Los Angeles is the number one demographic for Koreans outside of Korea in the whole world. I had no idea.
We had the speaker of the Korean legislature here, and we were having that discussion that how there are 800,000 Koreans really in the neighborhood, and we in fact have some of the very best Korean art collections outside of Korea.
So I imagine it goes without saying that this is a seminal destination for kids. They're right out front. As I look out of your office window, there's a yellow school bus. That seems to be an integral part of your mission, isn't it?
What I think about when we've been expanding and developing the museum and this campus of indoor and outdoor space is indeed kids. We do have hundreds of thousands of kids who come every year. And I often think if you can make a place that a kid wants to go to and is also high-minded artistically, that you've created something very special. And I do want a place that, you know, kids drag their parents to come see. And we have things on this campus that are like that, whether it's Chris Burden's Urban Light, 202 street lamps out front of the museum, lit all night long, that kids are at and playing hide-and-go-seek around, as well as it being a fantastic icon with great meaning for Los Angeles, or Michael Heiser's levitated mass, a 340-ton rock that you can walk under. Those are very serious artworks, but they're also things that kids and families can love. Even the outdoor aspect of this museum that, you know, in Chicago or New York wouldn't be as easy, here the outdoors is almost as important as the indoors at the museum.
You're blessed with that luxury of physical space, a 20-plus acre campus.
Yeah, it's very beautiful, this area of space of 20-plus acres right in the middle of this huge metropolis. I think a lot of people know this space because of the La Brea Tar Pits, which have been here forever. The museum was situated next to it in the Museum of Natural History. And then we have this huge art museum with indoor and outdoor space. And the hope is that within a few years, we'll have Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences Movie Museum on the campus as well. Across the street, the Peterson Automotive Museum. So essentially, there's something for everyone right here at this place.
Tell us about some of the classic items. Somebody was telling me the other day about a Gutenberg Bible and some incredible treasures that are here.
You know, there are certain treasures like a Gutenberg Bible or a print or drawing that, because they're light sensitive, are not always on view. So you must always warn visitors that sometimes you see something like that that for conservation reasons isn't always on view. But there are things that are almost always on view. For example, one of my favorite works in the whole museum is René Magritte, the great Belgian surrealist, made a painting with a picture of a pipe, and in French it says, "This is not a pipe." And it's one of the great surrealist works. It has image and text, and everybody looks and says, "Well, of course it's not a pipe. It's a painting." But that recognition was an essential surrealist and modernist understanding, and that painting is famous worldwide. You can see it in every art history text. But I can talk to you about many things that we have in the museum like that. We have a picture by a French painter, Georges de la Tour, of a Magdalene sitting next to a table with a single flame of candlelight and a skull. And that picture is so beautiful. In fact, it was one of the inspirations for the organization of the Caravaggio, great Italian painter, the Caravaggio Show, because it was Caravaggio's influence that caused so many artists like de la Tour to think in terms of light and dark. So we have masterpieces like that. We have things that can't be seen all the time, like the Ardabil carpet. We have probably the most important Persian carpet in the world.
Wow. Why?
It was actually J. Paul Getty who collected it early in the century and gave it to LACMA. The pear, which is actually not as good in color as at the Victoria and Albert in London, this carpet was the feature of our Gifts of the Sultans show recently. We bring it out. It's so light sensitive. We bring it out every 5 or 10 years, and you should make sure you're here when that happens. The thing about it is that there are so many objects. There's a work by Henri Matisse, a beautiful ceramic work. Everybody knows those late works like the cutouts with all of the color. Well, this was done for a family in Los Angeles. A woman, Frances Brody, commissioned him, and it's done in ceramic. Wow. So it's actually up all the time.
One more. Give us another not to be missed. Sure.
Well, you cannot miss. I mean, I actually, there's so many things. There are things like, I mean, for me, the outdoor sculptures and the large-scale sculptures are fantastic, whether it's Chris Burden's Urban Light, Michael Heiser's Levitated Mass. What people don't know is all of the palm trees which grace the entrance to the museum and around the main courtyards were designed by Robert Irwin, another artist who was born in Los Angeles. You can go to the Broad Contemporary Art Museum and you can look up and see 90 feet of a mural made by Barbara Kruger. It's a 90-foot-tall picture in words and images. And then if you go a little further into those galleries, the Broad Contemporary Art Museum, on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, we operate an artwork by Chris Burden that involves 1,100 matchbox-size cars whizzing around a room-size city. It's spectacular, fantastic, kinetic sculpture, so you must not miss that.
I am going to make a date for that one. Michael, unfortunately, we're out of time, and I know you have to go to an appointment. We really thank you so much for taking the time and sharing. This has been a highlight of my day, I'll tell you that much.
Well, enjoy the rest of the museum. I know you'll have fun, and don't forget that we have a beautiful restaurant bar and coffee bar, so you can have some good coffee and a bite to eat.
I just came from lunch there, and wow, incredible. You're blessed again, even in the cuisine end of things.
Thanks.
We've been speaking with Michael Govan, the CEO and director of the Los Angeles County Museum of Art on Wilshire Boulevard, Los Angeles. For further information, log on to lacma.org. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from the Los Angeles County Museum of Art.
I'm back in the saddle again.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Los Angeles, California. Right now, we are at The Autry with Jeffrey Richardson, the Gamble Curator of Western History, Popular Culture, and Firearms. Jeffrey, what a pleasure to be here. What is The Autry? People think of Gene Autry, but it's so much more than that.
The Autry National Center, or the Autry as we like to call it, is a multicultural Western history museum in Los Angeles Griffith Park. So we're directly across from the Los Angeles Zoo. The museum was established in 1988 by the singing cowboy, America's favorite singing cowboy, Gene Autry. But what's interesting to note, the museum is not about Gene Autry. There have been other individuals from that particular time period, such as Roy Rogers, who have created, for lack of a better word, shrines to themselves. But what Gene Autry wanted to do is he wanted to give back to the community that made him as successful as he was. He was the only entertainer to have all five stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He was the inaugural owner of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. He was a businessman, philanthropist, an entertainer, and he wanted to give back to the community that made him so successful, and that was the American West. So he wanted to establish in Los Angeles a Western history museum that would explore the broader history of the American West, not something that would just look at Western movie cowboys, singing cowboys, entertainers, but would look at that history of the American West from pre-contact all the way up until today. Now, when people think of the West, they often immediately kind of default to cowboys and to Indians, to John Wayne, to Monument Valley. And those things are here at the museum, but we're so much more. We have a variety of temporary and ongoing exhibitions that explore very different aspects. This includes 20th century women designers, Native Americans, all of the different people that made the West the unique region that it is today. We have on display at the museum countless artifacts ranging from iconic paintings, iconic sculptures, Western history objects from various different groups. But what's I think also interesting is we have everyday objects here as well, things that people grew up with, that their grandparents grew up with, that their children are growing up with. So it's really a combination of all of those different things here at the museum.
An overview of what somebody would see and experience here.
When you enter the museum and make your way into the galleries on the upper level, you are really looking at what would commonly be referred to as the mythic West, these images of the West, big wide open spaces, isolated individuals, these vanishing races that were portrayed in the late 19th century. It was art that was really at the forefront of these. You know, beautiful piece of art. We're looking at here at a Thomas Moran painting of the Mountain of the Holy Cross. It's a huge painting that really gets at a lot of what the West was about. But on the mountain, you have a cross, which gave it this idea of that notion of manifest destiny that was there in the 19th century, that it was the God-given right of Americans to make their way across the continent. And of course, that kind of overshadowed all of the negative things and all of the connotations that goes with that, that the fact that this wasn't a great wide open space, that there were people here who had been living here for millennia and who had established a certain way of life that as a result of this notion of manifest destiny would ultimately disappear, or at least be seriously impacted.
The moment I stepped into the foyer was 10 million school kids, and that's what we hear in the background, and they are just having a fabulous time, you can tell.
One of the most important things that we do here at the museum is provide this information for a generation of kids who didn't grow up watching Western movies or Western television shows. For them, the West is not something that's part of their everyday life. You didn't have women in Western film in very progressive roles. They were always kind of damsels in distress. African Americans were not part of the Western narrative for so long. So what we try to do in this gallery is look at how the West evolved over time. We're trying to present these things to allow people to make an educated decision about these artifacts that played an important role in Western history.
Jeffrey Richardson, what a wonderful journey. And you know what the brilliance of your pottery is? Your location.
We're right off the 5 freeway and the 134 freeways here. We're directly across from the Los Angeles Zoo. Free parking. And in Los Angeles, you don't get a lot of free parking. To find out more information about the museum, please visit theautry.org. We have programs that bring in lecture series, panels. We do a monthly film series here at the museum. I think people would be surprised what we have, what we do here at the museum. While we have cowboys and Indians, we're a lot more than that.
I'm back in the saddle again.
I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer reporting from Los Angeles, California.
Where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gypsum wheat. Back in the saddle again. Riding the range once more.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
The Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative was recently awarded the prestigious Phoenix Award by the Society of American Travel Writers. HLRI was one of four recipients of the prestigious award that recognizes international organizations actively involved in conservation, preservation, beautification, and anti-pollution campaigns that further the growth and appeal of travel destinations.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show, Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a weekly featured podcast on NPR.org, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Our San Francisco-based associate producer is Molly Blaisdell, covering the San Francisco Bay Area, the island of Maui, and the South Pacific. Our Wisconsin-based associate producer is Julie Henning,